Rule number one at the Federal Reserve, no surprises.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Today, the Fed will wrap up its two-day meeting in Washington with a short written statement. We don't yet know the exact wording, but it'll probably tell us the Fed is going to finish up its $600 billion bond buying program on schedule and keep interest rates low for a while longer. How do we know that? Because the last thing the Fed wants to do is shock us, Marketplace's Eve Tro explains.
Each quarterly written statement from the Fed is only a few words different than the last one. But economists like Rob Carnell with ING know what words to listen for and predict the market based on tiny changes.
You know, it's one adjective gets slightly upgraded or downgraded, and that's as much as you've got to go on. So you have to be quite a master of the English language as well.
Carnell says the Fed knows bankers are listening. The last thing Ben Bernanke wants to do today, in his first press conference as Fed chairman, is shock the markets. Guy Labaugh with Janney Montgomery Scott says the event only gives the Fed and Bernanke the appearance of transparency.
We'll hear a lot of it depends, and if this, then that. However, we're not going to get a good idea of what the Fed is outright going to do.
But investors will look for signs nonetheless, a raised syllable or hand gesture, even the length of his beard. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
Sony's PlayStation Network has been offline for a week now, and last night the world found out why. Sony says tons of sensitive personal information has been hacked, Marketplace's Steve Henn reports.
Sony's PlayStation Network has roughly 77 million members worldwide. Each of them gave their email, a physical address, and a password to the company. Many millions gave credit card information as well.
I've been reading criticism of Sony that what took them a week to tell us. I think it took them a week to find out the extent of the breach.
Michael Pachter is a video game analyst at Wedbush Securities. He says at this point, no one knows who the hacker is or what his or her intentions are.
If it's somebody who's really stealing, the effects of this hack could linger for months or for years.
Still, Pachter doesn't think the breach will bury Sony's gaming business.
It's not like closing down your Yahoo account and going somewhere else. The switching cost here is you have to go spend $300 to buy an Xbox 360 and $60 a year to join Xbox Live.
But the security breach could cost Sony some real money. Already, one U.S. senator is calling on the company to insure its customers against any possible identity theft. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in Europe and Asia this morning. The U.K. is reporting its economy grew by a minuscule 0.5% last quarter. Economists are blaming the stagnation there on steep spending cuts by the government. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 115 points to close at 12,595.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, insuring more than 75 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. By Manta.com, providing an online destination for small businesses to be found and to find new customers. More online at Manta.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
Bernie Madoff is serving a 150-year prison sentence for carrying out the largest Ponzi scheme in history. Journalist Diana Henriquez was the first to interview Madoff in prison, and she's got a book out this week about his rise and fall. It's called The Wizard of Lies, and Diana Henriquez joins us now from New York. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, you were the first person to interview Bernie Madoff in prison. What was he like?
The first visit that I had with him, he was very crisp, very dapper. My second visit in February, I saw just a dramatic change after his son's suicide. He was shattered. In fact, there was a button unbuttoned on his shirt that he didn't even notice until more than halfway through our interview.
That was the thing that really got to him, the suicide of his son?
It seemed to. I didn't actually see, I'm often asked if I see remorse in him, and I must confess, there's more denial than remorse. I don't think he actually understands how much damage he has done, or at least he hasn't accepted it to himself.
Bernie Madoff's wife, Ruth, has not been charged with a crime. There's been a lot of investigation, and still no charge. Why do you think there's been such vitriol from the public toward Ruth?
I've given that a lot of thought, Jeremy, because in fact, if you go back through centuries, the criminal is derided and attacked, but the family is usually left alone. Ruth remained with Madoff, and that seemed to be the triggering event. But from my research, I know that Ruth felt she couldn't abandon him. They'd been married for 50 years, and she just couldn't walk away from him. And I think she got punished for that, frankly.
This case was a huge embarrassment for the federal government and particularly the Securities and Exchange Commission. How could regulators not have figured out what was going on?
Well, it's painful to read. It was painful to write, to see all of the missed opportunities. But we must remember what had happened to the American regulatory structure after several decades of deregulation and small budgets. They came tantalizingly, agonizingly close so many times.
There's been a big overhaul of regulations in this country since the Madoff affair. Do you think that the SEC is in a better position to stop a crime like this in the future?
It's in a better position to manage its resources. It's a good start. But the ability of regulators to get inside a Ponzi scheme and stop it is always going to be limited to how alert those investors are. And so what I hope people will take away from the book is the knowledge and wisdom they need to protect themselves against these very plausible crooks.
Diana Henriquez, author of The Wizard of Lies, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Jeremy.
And you can read an excerpt from Diana's book at our big book blog at marketplace.org. Finally, there's the housing market, and then there's the housing market in the Hamptons, where billionaire David Tepper bought a mansion last year for $43 million, and he's just gotten approval to tear it down. The house has a tennis court, big marble bathrooms, and a sun-drenched living room with an ocean view. But at 6,100 square feet, it's a bit of a tight squeeze for Tepper. So after he tears it down, he is replacing it with a house twice the size. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. On Twitter, at Jeremy Hobson, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media. Spy software, data hacking, facial recognition programs, that all used to be pretty complicated and expensive technology.
If you look historically, you know, visual analysis, facial recognition has been kind of a supercomputer function that's only done on servers.
Oh, that was then. This is now. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Spying? Yeah, there's an app for that. It's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.